It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. It's a beautiful day. It's always a beautiful day to study the Word of God. And so we're in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading here today with the 11th verse, and that will get us started for the study today. We're all the way down to the 12th, between the 12th and 13th verse there. So please open your Bibles, Revelation chapter 1, and we'll begin reading in a few moments. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Again, we're going to begin reading with verse 11 and read down through verse 20. And so please follow along if you can, and I sure hope that you can today. Revelation chapter 1, beginning to read with verse 11. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as the flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, am made alive for evermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. And the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Let's begin now with prayer. Father, we just thank you today that we have the opportunity to read your precious word, and not only to read it, but then to study it and to learn it and to apply it to our lives and to our hearts. And so please, dear Lord, that you would show us your way and will. The only way, dear Father, to begin to learn, to be a good student of your word, first of all, of course, you must be born again. You must have trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and ask him into your heart, because we know that your Son, the Lord Jesus, died on the cross of Calvary, and on that cross our sins were taken away. There's a free gift given to all that have ever breathed, ever lived, and that is the gift of salvation. And so I ask today that all that are listening would receive that gift, and that's where that personal relationship comes in. You ask Jesus to come into your heart to save you. It's sad today, Father, that many churches, many religions have left that personal relationship aside, and they've kind of went with the universal salvation. Your precious book doesn't teach that to us, but the personal relationship, that's very clear. It's the book of the whosoever. We're of that time, that age right now. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So touch every heart today, Father, for salvation first, and then teach us your precious word, as then the Holy Spirit comes to live within our hearts, and we have the opportunity to learn and to grow. So please guide and lead us now as we continue this precious study of your word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at these verses of Scripture and we read through the churches, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea, as we look at those seven churches, there again, we're going to repeat this as we have many times. It is seven literal churches in Asia. Those seven literal churches also stand for seven church ages. And we are in the seventh age right now. And we will be studying those churches, and I think that you'll enjoy it. We'll look not only at the church age, but also we're going to look at the church itself. And so please, it was a literal church of its day, and it carried a certain character, some served the Lord, some did not serve the Lord, and we're going to enjoy that precious study. So please, don't miss one opportunity here if you can help it. As we look at this 12th verse, I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. As we have reviewed, the number seven means complete. And so as we find a couple of descriptions here, seven and golden. Gold means divine or righteousness. So we have a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus right in the seven golden candlesticks. We have a picture of the church, the true church, which Jesus is the head of as well. And so we have a list of seven churches. I saw seven golden candlesticks. And so we have seven, and again, the complete number. And so God is the Lord Jesus is the head of the church. What a beautiful picture that we have with the Lord Jesus right in the center, because as we look at the 13th verse, in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about with paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as a sound of many waters. Beautiful description. What we find here is Jesus once again is the head, and Jesus also is the foundation of the church. So Jesus being the head, the heart, and the soul of the New Testament church, he is the church. We will never have a disagreement. We'll never have a fuss. We'll never have an argument if everybody follows the Lord Jesus. It's so important that as we come together as believers, wherever you attend church, first of all, you must be born again. You need to trust in Jesus. Once you've trusted in Jesus, then the Holy Spirit lives within your heart. When the Holy Spirit lives within your heart, then you have the opportunity to learn the truth. You have the power over evil, and you have the opportunity to learn the truth, the Word of God. Only up until that time, prior to trusting in Jesus, that opportunity isn't there for you. But once you have trusted in Jesus, then the door is open and you begin. And so once now you have trusted in Jesus, you're gaining wisdom and strength and power, and that's the joy of being a believer in Jesus Christ in this age. Now, eternity is going to be tremendous because we're going to enjoy the presence of the Lord Jesus forever and ever. Wonderful. But even here and now, he opens the door for many things for us. And we're seeing some of those things as we're looking at the churches that are here. And so, once again, these seven golden candlesticks that speaks of here up in the 12th verse gives us the answer down the 20th verse. Scripture confirms Scripture. So let's look to the Word of God. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. And so the seven candlesticks are the seven churches. This, again, as we have kind of still in the mode of review here, we have a description up here, the Son of Man, and we have clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about with paps with golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as the flame of fire. His feet like fine brass, the furnace. And so we have brass, of course, is judgment. We have white up here, it stands for purity. And so it is a beautiful example we have of the Lord Jesus. And this couple of things, his garment is a beautiful picture of the high priest. You'll find that in Exodus 28, 2 through 4, "And thou shalt make a holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, and an ephod, and a robe, an embroidered coat, and a mitre, and a girdle. And they shall make a holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office." The high priest is the go-between between God and man. Our Lord Jesus has taken the position of high priest, and we'll look at that here in just a moment. Let's back up first. We need to be reminded of the lampstand that is in the tabernacle. As we look at the lampstand that sits in the tabernacle, it's in the holy place, the first room, the 15 by 30 by 15, and 15 foot high, 15 foot wide, and 30 foot long. And in there are three pieces of furniture. One's this lampstand, another is a table of showbread, and the third is the incense altar. So we have the lampstand present there. And we need to know that I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So you see, if you trust in Jesus, and we find here that we're looking at seven golden candlesticks, each one representing a church. So as we continue now and enjoy this, we need to see that it not only lists the churches, but it also lists the stars, and we're going to find that to be the pastors here pretty shortly. As he stands in the midst of these churches, he's not standing in the midst of these churches in the position of Savior. He is standing in the position of judge. He is judging, and that's what his purpose is. Christ is making right now intercession for us. That is where we find him today. He is our high priest. He is making intercession for us. Just as the high priest, Aaron, and his sons, as through the time that they served in the office of high priest, they made intercession between the people and God. Well, the best, the perfect high priest, our Lord Jesus, took that position, that place, after he finished the work upon the cross. He had first to finish the work on the cross. He had to die that he'd take all of our sins away. He did that. And don't misunderstand me, because the Word of God does not teach eternal salvation for everyone. It is there for everyone, but it's not handed to everyone. You must accept it. The opportunity's there, but it is not an automatic. You must trust in Jesus as your Savior to be born again. Once you trust in Jesus, then he is your go-between. The Lord Jesus is not only your Savior, but he is our intercessor, because he goes between us and God the Father. So when you speak, when we pray, we always pray in Jesus' name. And that's the reason, because he is the one that is the intercession for us. That is found, that is the golden altar. as we have the brazen altar, but we also have a golden altar, and that's also known as the prayer altar, makes intercession for us. And so this altar here is in the midst of the holy place. On one side is a lampstand, in the middle towards the veil of that goes into the Holy of Holies, you'll find the golden altar, and then next to that, on the opposite side, you will find the table of showbread. We also have the intervention of Christ. At this time, we need to understand, as a believer in Jesus Christ, see, you're not in the holy place. You can't get there unless you're born again. So you have to go by way of the cross, go by way of the brazen altar, and that's in the path, that's on the way. First you come through the gate, and there is this brazen altar, and that's where an offering is made, a sacrifice is made. And so as that sacrifice is made, and you trust in the Lord Jesus, is what it represents. Old Testament times, they would bring an oxen, it could be as small as a pigeon, whatever, depending on how wealthy you were, was to the offering that you made. This offering, this sacrifice was brought, it was put to death, and it was burned upon the altar. And as it was burned upon the altar, the blood was shed. Everything is exactly the same way. And it was all a picture until Jesus did the perfect work of salvation on the cross. And so, just beyond this cross, this brazen altar, just beyond that, we find a laver. And it also is made of brass. Now, a brass always in the scripture always stands for judgment. Gold stands for purity or deity, but brass always stands for judgment. And so here we have a brazen or brass laver. Now, having a brass laver, it means the cleaning, the laver is a wash basin, and so the priests, they would come, offer the sacrifice, they would go to the laver, and they would wash up. It had two levels, one below and one above, and so they'd wash your feet and wash your hands, and then they would proceed on into the holy place, into this building called the tabernacle. They would go into the holy place for one purpose, and that's to go fellowship, because you had the light of the lampstand, the sweet incense burning on the golden altar, and then you had the showbread, and that bread was there for them to eat. And so they would go in, and they would be able to enjoy each other in fellowship and get away from the world, get away from all the things, the stench of death and everything that was outside. And they would come in, but they could not come in until they washed. They had to wash. And so when we look at that, we find that even as we walk in this life, and we're still in the flesh, Jesus has forgiven every sin I've ever committed. But if we want to maintain fellowship, if we want to be able to go into the holy place for fellowship, go in there to enjoy the light of the lampstand, enjoy the bread, nourishment, and then that sweet incense that was burning always in there. If we wanted to enjoy that, if we want fellowship with our Lord, we have to go by the way of the laver. We've got to have that cleansing. Now, the Word of God will do that. As you study the Scripture, it does two things. It does many things. It begins, to start with, you go to the Word of God, and it'll bring you to salvation. It'll show you you're lost and show you need a Savior and show that Savior to you and give the strength and power to invite Him in if you choose to. Number one. Number two, then, the cleansing starts, the washing starts. Well, just like in the tabernacle. Got the brazen altar first. That's where the sacrifice, the offering was made, the cross. Next, we come to the laver. So we come to the Word of God. We study the Word of God, and it's the washing of the Word. Now, yes, I have salvation. The Scripture is very clear that it's eternal. Jesus keeps me. I am sealed by the Holy Spirit, never to lose my salvation. But if I expect to praise, to honor, and to please my God, then I need to keep in fellowship with Him. So I need the washing. I need the cleansing. And so to enjoy the washing and the cleansing, so I scrub and scrub and scrub. And, you know, I can remember back when I was at home, and further back than that, even when I was at my, go visit my grandparents. And I would remember out back, and it's the same house that we live in right now, but out back behind was the wash house, and then you had a cistern, and then next to that was the back door, but between there was two little stools, and they weren't made for sitting, they were made for a little pan, and they had, there was two of them there, and we would go over, and Grandpa would crank that old cistern, and once I got big enough, I could do it. I could crank that cistern and get that water in that pan, and then that pan would be set on that little stool, and then we'd stand there and we'd wash our hands. And many times we had to pitch that water out a couple times because we were really dirty. And I can still remember the smell of the soap because it was old Ivory soap was underneath in a little wire basket. And so we would wash our hands, and then we would go into the house for dinner or for supper or whatever the meal might be. And Grandma was a good cook. But I guarantee you, you never showed up dirty. You best have yourself, and we'd be out baling hay or working with the livestock, and we'd be dirty. But we could not come in and wouldn't want to come in. But we wouldn't be allowed to eat. We wouldn't be allowed to have a good, fine, home-cooked meal. And fried chicken and mashed potatoes and whatever Grandma chose to put on the table for us was always real good. But you would never, ever go in until you were clean. And it's the same thing here. You never, ever go before God and begin to feed, to learn His Word, until you have washed and got rid of those sin. Then, now you can see, now you can understand, now you can feed upon His Word. Go into the holy place. Well, we could go in, Grandpa and I could go in and sit down and have a wonderful meal. But I know we'd have been refused anything, and probably gotten sent back outside if we had not washed first. But you see, we knew better. We knew that we needed to wash up before we went in. God knows that we need to wash up before we go in. We're not allowed in there until, and I'm not talking salvation, I'm talking fellowship. I'm talking nourishment and feeding. So you want to grow, spend some time at the laver. Well, we don't have a brazen laver to go physically, literally wash our hands, but we got the Word of God. It does the same thing. And so it saves you, it cleans you, cleanses you, and it also feeds you. What more do you need? We don't need much more than that, do we? So as we look here, we've kind of divided it. We have, as the He makes intercession for us, that's at the golden altar in the holy place. He makes intervention for us, and that is back a couple of steps outside with the laver. And we have the inspection of Christ. And that's what we have here with the churches. He is inspecting the churches. In looking, we see our Lord clothed down to His feet. No color is mentioned, but around His breast we have a golden girdle, and gold signifies, once again, righteousness and faithfulness. His head, His hair were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire. Perfection, purity, as pure as God Himself. Burning, penetrating, searching, exposing all sin and evil. That's what we have here as God inspects the churches. He should be inspecting our lives. He should be inspecting our churches. His feet like fine brass, as if a burning in a furnace. Brass, again, as we've mentioned, stands for judgment. Psalms 93, verse 4, the Lord on high is mightier than the many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. God speaks, and mighty things happen. The brazen altar in the courtyard of the tabernacle represents Christ's work on earth. The cross he bore our judgment for sin. He has taken care of our sin. His voice, the sound of many waters. Oh, once again, when God speaks, mighty things happen. And now we find that he is dealt with our sin at the brazen altar. But now we're to the place where he is judging those that are his. And so we come now to these churches, and I hope that you enjoy that. You know, we have mighty examples. You know, Lazarus was raised from the dead. The lame walked. The blind see. He called this whole universe. He called anything that the scientists have found. He spoke it into existence. That's how mighty our God is. He saves you. He keeps you. He cleanses you. And he allows fellowship that we have with him. And then comes eternity, that we get to spend eternity with him. And what a wonderful, wonderful day it'll be. All this is found in the Word of God. Now we look at verse 16. In his right hand, seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. He had in his right hand seven stars. The 20th verse tells us, as it told us of the seven churches, it also tells us that these are messengers, pastors. And so we find here that the seven stars are angels or messengers or pastors is what it's called here. The responsibility of a star is to shine. The darker the night, the brighter the star. And you know that as you go out in some clear, clear night and you look up into the heavens and look up into the sky, and my, those stars are bright. This old world is dark. It's black with sin. If we stand for Jesus as we should, we will shine brightly, and we need to. The local church should be a bright light on the hilltop in this old dark world. The scripture continues and says, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. His countenance was like the sun shineth in his strength. God will judge with the force of his word. God simply speaks, and it's done. We come to the end. We're going to find his return. And when he returns to remove evil, we're going to find that the blood's going to flow bridle deep. He doesn't have to swing the sword. He just speaks, and it's finished. Hebrews 4:12, his word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Jesus said that those who reject his word will be judged by the word they reject. Let's look to John chapter 12, verse 48. John 12, 48. John chapter 12, verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. We're going to begin there next time we can come together. I hope that you enjoy this study. We sure don't get very far. But we've looked at Hebrews 4:12. We looked at John chapter 12, verse 48. Psalms 93:4. We have enjoyed these verses of Scripture. in Revelation as we looked from 12 down to verse 16. I hope that you know Jesus as your Savior. I hope you'll come by faith if you don't, and come now. Today is the day of salvation. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?